Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, for two Sundays now in a row, Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, is the primary figure in our gospel. Last Sunday, fourth Sunday of Advent, we were invited to witness the painful dilemma of this young fellow, Joseph. Suddenly confronted, as the gospel tries to describe, suddenly confronted by the realization that his fiancée was expecting a child, which was not his own. Joseph, like any young fellow, had all kinds of dreams about his own life. He had a solid occupation. Gospel tells us he was a technon, Greek word for maybe a carpenter, maybe a mason, somebody who was skilled, who had some special training and a very valuable job. We're told that's what he was, someone who could work with materials and make them both practical and handsome. Presumably, he was someone who was planning on marriage and having children, but that gospel last week suddenly had him confronted with something that was quite different from his plans. And we were told last week that in response to a dream, in the response to something very deep in his life that indicated what was the noble thing to do, he accepted that child as his own. And the gospel last week said he named the child, which was their way of saying, "This is my son." That was last week. Today we come back to Joseph, and his life is still a mess in ways that he could not have anticipated, because it's more complicated. It's forced by circumstances, again, quite beyond his control, forced to become a refugee in Egypt, doing who knows what odd jobs to support his family, simply to keep things together in this different, strange land. And today, among refugees from one part of the world to another, we have all kinds of stories about university professors and physicians, men and women who had very vast training. They come to a new area, they end up doing janitorial work or whatever is necessary, available, in order to keep things together. So this is a perennial problem, and we ought to feel free to imagine that Joseph himself had the same kind of difficulty. He might be a technon craftsman at home, but in Egypt, what did he do? Who knows? Something. Not expected. And then he was uprooted again and told to go back home, not home exactly, but up into Galilee, or dream after dream after dream. He had to start all over in ways he would not have planned as a young fellow. None of this was what Joseph had in mind when he paused at the edge of his young adult life, even though there were less choices in that culture than we might presume today. None of this was what he had in mind. If ever there was a patron of what I like to call Plan B, it's Joseph, the patron of people faced with Plan Bs, the dreamer, the fellow whose life was constantly yanked one way or another because of circumstances quite beyond his control. And so he had to make decisions. Thinking about those things for the past 2 weeks, last Sunday and again this Sunday, I was again surprised by how often family life is simply one series of Plan B after another. It really is. I mean, children come along and parents have some idea of the kind of children they want to have, but every personality is very different and unique, and so parents have to somehow come to terms with the kids, who they are. We wonder and smile at just about every family how the same parents in the same circumstances could produce such a variety of personalities. And then there's always the illnesses, whether it's something minor like you know, flu or a cold or whatever, but something major. Those are things that have to be dealt with. And things change. People get sick. Do what you have to do. Or job opportunities that come along, and changing economy or whatever. Families have to become good at Plan B, it seems to me. And so Joseph is just a wonderful patron, for not just for individuals in our lives, but for families as well. Over the years, I have the practice at confirmation, after communion, when I'm saying a word of thanks, to say a word to the newly confirmed. You know, I've read all these confirmation letters, I guess maybe 50,000 of them by now, and I see in the letters all the things that they plan to do in life as young adults, 16, 17, all kinds of ideas, and I say to them, look, life won't turn out the way you think it will or should. It never does. Never. But the point of confirmation is that God promises to be with you in all of it, all the way through. Whatever you have to deal with, God promises to be with you. Once again, look at those young people with all the promise that they have. You know, every teenager, 16, 17, beginning to be serious about things again. It's going to be a whole series of Plan Bs. High schools, and in particular, Marquette University High School and also Divine Savior of Holy Angels has for juniors what they call the Kairos Retreat. And it is a retreat aimed at helping those young men, young women, to come to terms with how they deal with the Kairos, the moment, the sudden confrontation with a Plan B, when Plan A doesn't quite work out the way they thought it should. So those are wonderful retreat experiences because it sets them up for what life will be. I look at my own life. The last thing I ever thought was to be a bishop. And when the call came saying that the Holy Father had decided and that I had 24 hours to think about this, I thought to myself, this is crazy. This is not what I wanted in my life. So I made a list for myself of all the reasons why I should say no. And it was a long list. And then the reasons why I should say yes, and there was only one thing, because I was asked. Life is full of these kinds of things. It's possible for all of us, I think, as adults, to look backwards and to recognize that there were certain turning points, I say maybe seven or eight in the life of an adult, seven or eight moments when we were faced with something we hadn't anticipated, one thing or another, and we made a decision. We made a decision to go this way, not that way. It's almost like crossing a stream, hopping from one stone to another. There are a couple of stones out there. You could go this way or that way, but you choose this one for whatever sets of reasons. And in life, it might be a friend, it might be an opportunity, it might be personality, it might be school. You make all kinds of decisions, jobs. Could have gone that way, go this way. And there are all kinds of consequences. And God is in all of those. Maybe God is more in Plan B than in Plan A. Because Plan A is our plan. And Plan B is God's way of leading us in a way that's not just for us, but for a larger world. My dad always thought about having a machine shop of his own. And it never quite worked out. But even then he bought a big piece of machinery and it sat in the garage for decades. And then when he died, we had to figure out what to do with this hunk of machinery because life just kind of went its own way. People of faith are constantly faced with what we call the Kairos. When I have a chance to give a talk on this topic, every once in a while, very suddenly, abruptly, I'll stop and I say, what time is it, by the way? And of course, people immediately look at their watches and they say, well, it's 25 to 9, or whatever the time may be. And I say, that's one kind of time. That's time in terms of 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Or if you say, well, it's winter, that's time in terms of after fall, after autumn, and before spring. But there's a different kind of time, and that's kairos. It's time to pray. It's time to eat. It's time to put some gas in the car. You know, just the decision, time to make a decision. And that's what Joseph's life was all about, and that's what our life is all about too, and that's what family life is all about, time to make some decisions. And to do our darnest to make the right kind of decisions, the kinds of decisions where God is surely operative. Joseph, I submit, is a marvelous example, a model of all of us suddenly confronted with the time to get married, time to face up to these circumstances that certainly were not in the plan, time to run away to Egypt for safety and security for people we love, time to accept the will of God at this moment in history. And that's really what family life is all about. It's what life of faith is all about. God is at work in our lives. And to know what time it is and to respond accordingly is a great, great gift of grace. A great gift of grace.